Sing it again.
No.
I was going to try and catch her out on the podcast. Welcome to Metal Hammer Podcast, episode 54. Elle was just singing to me off mic and I couldn't catch it. I'm gutted. It was really good.
I'm not a performing monkey.
I'm Mo. That is Elle. How are you doing?
I was okay until you tried to trick me and now I feel betrayed.
Betrayed. We have a brand new issue of Metal Hammer out as of Friday. So yay. Depending on when you listen to this. It's a big one. I hinted about it a couple of weeks back. We have brought Ghost back to the cover of Metal Hammer. One of the most hotly debated, one of the most loved, one of the most hated. That's rhymed. That's quite good. undeniably one of the biggest things in the world of metal today. We have a world exclusive new interview with Tobias Forge. I went over to Paris it was this month, wasn't it? Yeah. Still just this month, earlier in February, to check out their show, a fucking massive arena, which I talked about a few weeks back. Also got to talk to Tobias for a good while about his career, about how he's basically taken this bizarre concept and turned it into, I think, undisputedly one of the biggest things in, like I said, in the world of metal today. It's a very revealing interview. He's very candid about where he's at, about where everything came from. He talks to us about the origin of Papa Emeritus, where the idea for the...
Papa Emeritus or Emeritus?
Emeritus. Emeritus? Papa E. Who cares? He's gone now.
No, I'm curious.
It doesn't matter anymore. He talks to me about Cardinal and the plans for him. Could be around for another 5 years, apparently.
What?
He's got some really deep plans for this guy moving forward. So
5 years is a long time.
That is a long time. Multiple albums and all the rest of it. It's a really good look behind the mask of the man who created Ghost. And if you're a Ghost fanatic, like we are, we've got two covers for you this month. So two exclusive Ghost covers, and each cover comes with different sets of gifts. We have two different variants of a special Ghost art print created for us by the brilliant Luke Priest, who did our Aussie art cover a while back. He's also worked with Metallica, amongst others. So you can get two different art, really nice A4 art variant pieces, different one with each cover. And one of the covers comes with an exclusive Grucifix laptop sticker. The other one comes with an exclusive Ghost sticker pack. I think there's 10 different designs on there. So, loads of Ghost out there for you if you like that kind of thing, which you should because they're fucking brilliant. Each cover comes with its own exclusive set of gifts. It's really good. And we're also going to be unveiling a bundle very soon. So, if you're waiting on that, don't worry. It'll be up. All sorts of Ghost things going on. That's not all that's in the new issue, though, Elle. What else is in there?
I don't know.
You should, because they've got those notes right there. That I've fully typed out just in case.
Okay. What is in the issue? Iron Maiden, Rotting Christ, Architects, Venom Prison, While She Sleeps, Dime Bash, Children of Bodom, Twin Temple, The Raven Age, Dream Theatre.
And?
No.
Oh, you didn't read out the way that I wrote down. Yeah, loads of fucking mad shit. We talked to Iron Maiden, we talked to some people around Iron Maiden along with some age-old interviews with the band about Brave New World, how that basically, it didn't exactly save their career, but it certainly saved their skin a little bit.
Revitalized them.
One of my very, 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 very favourite Maiden albums, the album that took them back to greatness after a bit of a difficult time in the 90s. So we go back inside the story of Brave New World, we talked to Rotting Christ about their fucking awesome new album. That album is so good, The Heretics. It's unbelievable.
It's very, 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 very good.
Yeah, we go to Wembley with Architects. Elle's just reeled them all off. Twin Temple as well. We're going to talk about them a bit more in a couple of weeks, I think, because they're a really, really cool new band that we're very excited about. There's just shitloads of stuff in it. And two exclusive Ghost covers. Where is she going to get that? Where else, I tell you? I'm going to wait here while you all tell me, even though I can't hear what you're saying. The new issue of Metal Hammer out on Friday. It's massive, it's exclusive, it's got so much cool stuff in it. Fucking wicked. We were pouring over it today in the office because we just got our copies as well. It's really good. Triple promise. I'm going to stop plugging our shit now. What have you been up to this week?
I went to see Vane.
Yes, how was that?
Well, I missed the first couple of songs. It was at a place called the New Cross Inn in London, and it's like a pub venue, like a sort of big pub venue. And I walked past it a few times when bands have been on and It's just completely, the windows look like they've been painted over white because it's steamed up. It gets very hot in there. And so,
oh wow,
I missed the first couple of songs and opened the door and there was no room, but I just squeezed myself into the back and then my glasses steamed up. So
this sounds like a miserable experience so far.
I couldn't see anything, and the guy next to me was like laughing, and I was like, "Tell me what's happening on stage. I can't see anything," and it was insane. Vane, obviously, I think we've spoken about them before
briefly, sort of, but probably worth recapping.
In a similar vein to what Code Orange are doing, but more hardcore-y.
Yeah.
And
if you like hardcore and that first Slipknot album, you'll like Vane, I think.
Yeah,
basically.
And it was completely packed and everyone was going crazy. It was what you'd expect. It's the same kind of crowd as a Turnstile crowd, really, if I was going to compare it. And there were people crowd surfing.
Was there any crowd killing? I don't want to be judgmental of the hardcore scene, but you sometimes get some pretty ferocious.
I couldn't see. I didn't see because it was just out the back trying to see. I couldn't see any crowd killing, but everyone was really, really into it, and I didn't see any injuries. Everyone was just really, really hyped up. So I don't think it was like, there was no bad attitude from anyone there that I could see. Everyone was just super stoked to see them, and I'd be surprised if they didn't come back soon, because it's clearly an audience out there.
Yeah, everyone's stoked on that band. Very cool. Yeah. We should do something with them.
Yeah.
Let's freaking do it.
It was good. I enjoyed it. Next time I want to get there earlier and see a bit more.
Yeah, and maybe wear contact lenses.
Yeah, maybe wear contact lenses. That's my top tip if you see Vane. Yeah.
Well, I went to a gig as well this week. I basically topped up my metal credentials for the year, so I can just go back to listening to Papa Roach mixtapes the rest of the year now, because I went to this gig.
Good.
I went to see Gyle's Words. I just realised I don't know how to say it. I was going to ask Jonathan. Gyle's Word?
I think it's Word.
Gyle's
it's
Word.
It's just spelt ye olde way.
Yeah, Gyle's Word.
W-Y-R-D.
Extreme metal legend, formerly of Gorgoroth, also of Godseed and Wadruna and various others. I was quite interested to see what Gyle's show would be like as well. But to be honest, I was mainly going for Tribulation. Because they're just fucking great, and I saw them with Arch Enemy, thought they were really good there, and I thought it'd be good to see them in a slightly more intimate setting, although it was at the Islington Academy, which is still, I don't know, a good few hundred people, isn't it? But I got in there about halfway through a band called, I don't know if it's Uada or Uada, U-A-D-A, anyway, I'm doing terribly with my pronunciation, sorry, I'm just losing all my fucking metal points that I worked so hard to get. Whatever. I saw this band Uada. I'm going to call them Uada. Ueda. We'll go with Ueda. I'd never heard of them. Briefly looked them up before I went to see them. They're from Portland, and they're kind of, like melodic black metal, post Wolves in the Throne Room kind of vibe. And I thought they were fucking great, actually. They're all kind of hooded, and they had like long sleeves, and they kind of looked like the assassins of Assassin's Creed, but that's a shit reference point, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but that, whatever that is properly historically, that I'm making myself
look like. Well, it depends which Assassin's Creed you're talking about.
Well, they're all hooded in long sleeves. So.
Okay, yeah.
They're kind of like
hooded,
like,
draped over your face.
Yeah, like draped right over. I couldn't see any of their faces at all. It was really good. It was quite. It got better and better as it went on. They kind of started and it was quite, I don't want to say bloody, but quite like slow paced, quite methodical, quite lumbering big riffs with like nice melodies kind of weaved in. And then it kind of got heavier and heavier and kind of almost faster as it went along. And then for the final song, they're all kind of like riffing and soloing all over the place. It got like really heavy metal at the end. It was really cool. And you could see the crowd, you could see a few people that were there that knew them, but by the end you could definitely see people were really getting into it. The
they
only
sound
problem
great.
The what?
They sound great.
I really liked them. I've been listening to them since. I definitely would recommend them if people aren't familiar with them and they're into that kind of, like I said, whole melodic black metal vibe. And you'll probably pronounce them better than I have as well. So there you go. The only problem I had with them was that every time the guy went for a kind of piercing metal shriek, it didn't really come out as a yeah. It kind of came out as a. It was a bit like,
oh dear.
It kind of killed the vibe a couple of times for me.
Why was that then? Just to...
I don't know. It was kind of, I don't know, it just didn't quite work. But it was only a couple of tiny, tiny things, like, but it did annoy me a little bit. But apart from that, they were fucking great. Tribulation, on the other hand, were just fucking awesome. Just absolutely awesome. For people who aren't familiar with them, they're kind of Swedish. I can't remember if we talked about them before when they supported Arch Enemy.
I think Jonathan might have talked about them.
Yes, he would have, yeah. Yeah, Jonathan Seltzer, reviews editor, and has been on this podcast a good few times, is very big on them. They're basically a Swedish death metal band who were kind of like solid and always very well thought of and critically acclaimed to a point. But on the last couple of albums, they started to bring in these more kind of gothic, almost like flamboyant elements. Children of the Night, which came out in 2015, and Down Below, which came out last year. It's a brilliant album. And now they've kind of just, their whole vibe has got this kind of real edge of showmanship to it. So they had this kind of, they had like dry eyes, they had these little steam cannons going up, which is pretty impressive to see in the Islington Academy. And they just sounded really good, and loads of people were there for them. In fact, I think that the crowd thinned a little bit, just a little bit. After they came off stage, they played for 1 hour and 10 minutes as well.
That's a long time.
That is a long time. I was mainly there for them, and even I was a bit like, God, this is a long time for a fucking support act. But they went down really well. They looked great. They're all kind of like, I guess, corpse painted, but kind of subtly corpse painted. Like, they kind of look like, what's the really funny vampire film that everyone loves?
What They Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, What They Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows,
yeah. They kind of look like they've just come off the set of that. Like, they just kind of look like cool, kind of charismatic, slightly campy vampires. And yeah, people were really into it. And afterwards, they did this kind of, the big bow, and people were really cheering them, like really, really going for them. So yeah, I think they're definitely one of the most exciting bands in the underground at the moment. And I think we've talked about bands like Behemoth and various others that have kind of come from the extreme metal scene and have kind of transcended it a bit. And I think Tribulation could definitely have the capacity to do that. So I'm fascinated to see what they do with their next album, because they were really, really good.
Awesome.
Very cool. I watched a bit of Garl. I watched 3 or 4 songs. He kind of came on looking really imperious. He's just such a rock star, man. Like, he's... If you haven't seen Garl, like, he's kind of really tall, imposing figure, gaunt, kind of long, pointy, goatee beard, long, lank hair, corpse painted up, wearing a leather jacket and jeans and boots, and he just looked fucking awesome. He came on, I didn't know which songs were from which era, because he does across all the different things he's done when he's playing his own shows, and he's playing his own new solo material as well. So I wasn't quite sure which was from what. But it was a kind of mixture of like tribalistics, kind of spoken word chanting stuff, where the rest of the band would just be standing there kind of imperiously, like playing their instruments and like staring out the crowd, looking really ominous. And then there'll be points where he would just go full throttle, start screaming, and the band would start properly playing and riffing out and rocking out. It was really, really cool. But as I said, I was mainly there for Tribulation, so I only saw a bit of Garl. But I'm very interested to see or hear what that new album from him sounds like, because apparently it's not very black metal at all. And you can read more about that in an upcoming issue of Metal Hammer, by the way.
Really?
So, not the new one, but the new one after that. So there we go. A solid week of gigs.
Yeah, I should have mentioned it. It's quite funny. I Instagrammed a couple of pictures from Vain, and someone contacted me on Instagram and said he was walking past the venue on his way home from work, and he saw 2 guys hardcore dancing outside, and it made him smile. But just funny. It's funny because, you know, we're so busy in there, and people obviously just wanted to be there and having a good time outside as well.
Everyone's having a lovely time. That's a good, yeah. That's a good sign, though. Shit like that's going on. What's been happening in the world of news, in the world of metal specifically?
Download have added 17 more bands, plus NXT UK Wrestling.
That's loads. I've got the list.
Go on.
17 more bands added to this year's lineup. They've got Simple Creatures headlining the second stage. Now, that's a side project of which I have no interest, if memory serves. Isn't it someone from Blink-182 and someone from All Time Low or something like that?
Oh, you mean Alex Gaskoff and...
Mark Hoppus? Mark Hoppus. Yeah, it's them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, good for them. I'll be watching Slipknot. Also added All Us in Love, Clouds, Dinosaur Pileup, Goodbye June, Graveyard, they're a great band. Hot Milk, Kim Jennett, Cavell Attack, who I still haven't seen with their new singer. Ridiculously. Lost Society, they're a wicked, awesome thrash band. If no one's listened to them, go check that band out. Nova Twins, Queensy, Rome, Simple Creatures. Your mates,
yeah,
The Who.
Yeah, The Who.
The Who, that's the H-U, who Elle talked about was only last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to watch The Who.
Yeah. The Picture Books, The Wonder Years, and Rambo. I don't know who that is. Mm. Like a vampire Rambo. It's a terrible joke.
I hope they are. No, I really enjoyed it, actually.
That'll be good.
I really hope the singer is just, like, dressed in a cape with fangs and then has something tied around
and
his head.
And a bandana, yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Also added NXT UK. So if you're a wrestling fan, you know what that is. If you're not a wrestling fan, that's WWE's kind of developmental system. Specifically from the UK, so Pete Dunne's coming up, Tyler Bates going to be there, Trent Seven, Walter, who's a fucking massive, I think he's Austrian dude, Tony Storm, Rhea Ripley, Jordan Devlin, and various others. That should be really good. I used to watch pretty much all those guys at Progress Wrestling, where they still go sometimes, and they're all brilliant. So if you fancy a bit, something a bit different, definitely go and check out a bit of the old NXT UK. So yeah, that'd be great. Nikki Six is still moaning about Kiss.
Why?
Fucking get over it,
man. Why? Go on, what's happened now?
He's done a new interview this week where someone's asked him why he's upset about Kiss.
Oh, so that's sort of other people fanning the flames. He didn't do it on his own.
He
didn't just
have
a random moan.
I don't know. No, he's not had a random moan, but he has decided to kind of expand upon his moaniness. I think he's got a bee in his bonnet because he says that it looks like Kiss specifically went to the same company to order the same platform. Moving platforms that Motley Crue got on their farewell tour.
I mean,
so there you go.
But that,
I mean, we did this last week. I just thought it was funny that this is a thing.
How many companies provide that kind of equipment and how many provide it for such large shows?
Yeah, and again, it's Kiss. They write the rule book on 90% of this shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure Motley Crue wouldn't be playing with Fire and all the rest of it if it wasn't for Kiss.
It just comes out a bit lame, doesn't it?
Yeah. Let's all be friends.
Yeah, exactly. Take the higher ground.
Definitely. A massive US tour has been announced, and I just wanted to put it in here purely to see Elle's face. Because one for the band, and two to know that she probably can't go.
You're so horrible!
Go on then.
I want to go really badly. It's Korn and Alice in Chains.
That's mental.
On a US tour.
That is
I want to go so badly. That would be the best tour.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday, and I'd be interested to see what those crowds are like, because I feel like Korn, obviously very much from the same era, you're going to get a lot of people of a certain vintage, like us, who would be absolutely all over that if you're a fan of metal in the 90s. But I kind of feel like Alice in Chains have slightly more crossed over to a bit more of a chill kind of your dad.
I was upset yesterday
kind of
because
vibe.
He called it dad rock, and I was like,
no,
shut up.
They're not dad rock. Like, I thought the last album was better than the one before it. I think they're in good form and all that. But I think you're more likely to see your dad kind of people at Alice in Chains than Korn.
No.
Personally.
Fine.
That's what I think.
I mean,
Korn to me are still like a metal band. They draw a metal crowd, and even though it's probably, you know, an average age of kind of 30s-ish as well, I think you're going to get more mosh pitting, you'll get people losing their shit, you know what I mean? Like, when Korn play Blind, that's going to have a very different kind of vibe around it than when Alice in Chains play, you know, Down in a Hole.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe you'll get people just going for one band and then leaving and not... It's Korn, isn't it, headlining in Alice in Chains?
I think it's a joint.
Is it joint? Okay, so I don't know how they'll do that then, whether it will rotate or there will be one band than another band, because you might be right, those crowds might be different and you might get people leaving after the first one. Then again, if people have paid to see them, they're probably going to be fairly pricey arena tickets, and people want to feel like they've got their money out of them. So
what way around would you like to see them?
Alice in Chains and then Korn.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because, you know, I do agree with you to an extent in that Alice in Chains have got a more kind of laid back, heavy in a different sense kind of vibe, whereas Korn are more all out. Party metal in a way. Obviously, some of it's harrowing.
I actually have them in my.
It's more kind of people are more likely to sing along and dance to it and get into it in the kind of nu metal club way, whereas Alice in Chains is more kind of emotionally heavy, I suppose.
On my USBs that I used to DJ with, I have Korn under the subheader of party metal.
Well.
Fact. So I back your genre.
So when he's talking about existential misery and sad times and drugs, you're like, yeah.
Well, no, not necessarily. I put it to you that even though they might not be as famous, the kind of early to mid-noughties Korn is the best metal, like club kind of songs they ever wrote.
Yeah, and there's loads of things like You're on a Single. And,
Did My Time, Here to Stay.
Yeah.
So many good
Twisted
tunes.
Transistor.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
There's lots of
I love that era of Korn. I think it's so underrated.
No, I would see them Alice in Chains and then Korn. But
so Alice in Chains, I would to your point, I would never play that at a metal club night.
I've danced Alice in Chains at metal club nights.
Really?
Yeah. But I think you're still talking then the 90s.
Maybe like Man in a Box.
The 90s Alice in Chains, not the 2000s.
Yeah, you would drop Black Gives Way to Blue at the peak of the night.
You would if it was, not at the peak of the night, but you might play it if it was a specific grunge night. But
you
not,
wanted the come down song.
Yes, something at the end.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm just really excited. I really hope they bring it here because I would love to see.
Well, Alice in Chains
so
are doing
much.
Wembley, aren't they? They're doing like their own dates already.
Yeah, but you never know, like next year or something. Yeah. Look at Twins of Evil with Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson.
Yeah,
they keep doing more legs of Twins of Evil, so you never know what might happen.
Yeah.
Although I guess if either of them release another record, more likely to be Korn because Alice in Chains had one last year.
Yeah.
They go off and do their own thing, so.
I'm pretty young. Korn album's coming this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We assume, I mean, they talked about being in the studio and all the rest of it. So
yeah.
We will see. Massive shout outs to Serena from Svalbard and Millie from Ithaca for facing the wrath of angry sexist people on the Metal Hammer Facebook this week. We talked a couple of times about a piece that Stephen Hill did about just loads of great bands that are around at the moment that have women in and the kind of perspective that it's offering. Few people somehow found reason to be annoyed with that, and so we put some of their comments to Serena and Millie, and they destroyed them.
They did destroy them. I don't know if those people who made the comments will be more incensed by that, though.
Oh, I hope so.
I don't think it's probably going to change their minds, but it was a cathartic read. So,
and to be fair, it wasn't just like, I mean, we've been guilty of running a few ha ha. Look at you pieces. It wasn't really just that. Like, they were making quite intricate, like, serious points to it.
They were making serious points, and that's how they feel. Like, you know, you can shoot down people's experiences all you want, but if that's what they've experienced and that's what they've felt, then, you know, that's the thing.
Definitely. And if for some reason you're still thinking, if you're listening to this and you're still thinking, you know, oh, I don't see what the problem is, honestly, go and read that piece from Serena and Millie, because it might, you know, you might surprise yourself. You never know. People are asking us some good shit this week. I think we're going to take our time with some of these questions because
the
Metal Hammer readers have come up trumps.
I feel like I need like half a day to go over some of
these
questions.
I know. I've got
so many
notes.
Because they're really good and I just want to give some good answers and I feel the pressure.
Yeah, definitely.
So I might just let you go first.
All right, sure. www.facebook.com/Metal Hammer Readers if you want to get stuck in, of course. Adam Turner says, listening to Metallica live when they did their 30th anniversary shows from the Fillmore, and I was wondering what three rarities would you like to see them drop in the summer on their UK gigs?
I'm actually going to step out of this one because I think I might have said before, I'm a basic metal bitch. And I just want to hear the same old songs that you would hear.
That's the title of this podcast.
I just want to hear the same Metallica songs that you hear. I'm not really very interested in hearing rarities, sorry.
Well, there you go.
I know that might be a controversial opinion and people will think I'm stupid, but I'm just going to have to go with that. I'm going to let you pick them. I'm just going to opt out.
Well, I would love to say I'm going to come in here and sweep the metal points back up for everybody, but my choices probably aren't going to do that. I think Adam, who asked the question, has picked some blinding choices that I think any Metallica fan would be stoked with. He's picked Frayed Ends of Sanity, No Leaf Clover, that'd be great, and Phantom Lords. So like, all solid
they
choices.
They play No Leaf Clover fairly regularly, do they not?
I've never seen them play that.
Okay, fine.
As far as I know. I don't think so, anyway.
Stepping out the question.
No, I'm pretty sure I've never seen them play that.
Maybe it's just because everyone always talks about it when we talk about set lists. So in my mind, it's...
You can see on setlist.com while I go through my choices.
That's what I'm going
to
have a look at.
Hooray! Here's a way more metal... Adam's choice is a way more metal than mine. I would love to see a full-on 90s Metallica onslaught because I think that era is super underrated. Maybe not underrated, but I think maybe underrepresented a lot of the time. Not counting the Black Album, obviously. So I would like to see...
I'm distracting Merlin.
What are you looking at? Elsa Shimmy.
No Leaf Clover was last played on February 3rd.
Yeah, by a different band.
Oh.
Anyway.
Opting out the question.
My choices would be Sabra Kadabra off of Garage Inc. It's probably my favourite cover song of all time. It's just fucking phenomenal. Hetfield's voice sounds so god on it. God? Yeah, we'll go with that. Sounds like God on it. I would love to hear that. Ain't My Bitch off of Load. I'd kill to hear that opening riff get played. Speaking about basic metal bitches, that is a basic metal song, but I think it's so good. I'd love to hear it. And Unforgiven 2, because it's also absolutely wicked. In fact, I would love to see all three Unforgiven songs played one after the other. I think that would be really cool. So those are my choices. I could have picked 20 songs, to be honest, but I thought I'd go for a bit of a 90s slant on mine. Let us know what your choices would be on facebook.com/metalhammerreaders. What's next?
Which bands make you reach for a live album over a studio album? I feel like we covered this a bit last week. We talked about live albums, didn't we?
That was asked by Daniel Veazey, by the way.
I'm sorry. What am I doing today? Not with it, am I?
Well, are there any bands that you would rather listen to on a live album than a studio album?
No. Although I think I did say last week that...
You can answer any of these questions now.
I really enjoy Rammstein live stuff. They had the one at Bercy Arena in Paris, and I think they just sound good on a live album because there's sort of that bigness feeling and a feeling
the cheek of you ripping on my pronunciation of
a
stuff.
A feeling of bigness. And I think it's like almost like I associate it with seeing the show and being excited about the show and how big it is. So then when you listen to those songs, well, when I listen to those songs, it makes me feel excited and I kind of like listening to those albums live. And then there's specific shows, there's bands who've done specific shows and recorded them that I like listening to. Devin Townsend did the one in Plovdiv in Bulgaria at the Ancient Roman Theatre, and I was there at that show. That's a nice one to have to listen back to.
Mm.
So I think, yeah, specific sort of incidences I like to listen to that I've been to. And
I'm kind of the same. I mean, yeah, we did talk about this last week because we were discussing whether live albums are a cash grab or worthwhile. And I think, you know, again, Maiden for me put out a live album pretty much at least one on every album cycle, and I always go back to them because I like hearing the set lists mixed up in different ways. I like hearing almost recent songs live more than anything, because, you know, there's a million live versions of The Trooper out there. I'd say 50% of the time I want to listen to Thin Lizzy, I'll just go straight to Live and Dangerous. No Seat Till Hammersmith, of course, Motorhead. I probably play that as much as any studio Motorhead album. If you want Blood by AC/DC, and also their other one that I can't remember that they released quite recently. I listen to loads of live AC/DC and Kiss as well, because Alive is the best Kiss album. So those are my choices.
Good choices.
My wife and I, not me, have recently found out we are experiencing our first child.
Expecting.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Are expecting our first child.
Congratulations. That's exciting.
To Hugh Eggington and his missus. Hugh says, so they've got a baby on the way, and no way am I having my son, daughter, not listening to metal. Fucking hell.
I'd be the same.
What should I start playing it now in utero to ensure I have myself a little metalhead?
Well, I kind of went down...
You'll answer this one.
I might do. I was going down the educational route, actually. I was thinking, what songs could imbue some of the spirit of metal and also give them a head start when they come out of the womb. So I was thinking, Bodies by Drowning Pool.
Jesus Christ! Because
you count in it. So there's the 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's not going to freak a child out.
It's fine. It's just, you know, it's quite rhythmic. You know, it's quite sort of bassy and rhythmic and, you know, those things.
So this is when the mum's giving birth?
No, in utero means in the womb.
Oh. No, I know in utero it does. I thought, because I was thinking of that one. Something's got to give.
I mean, I don't know.
The baby hit the...
bird.
The welcoming hands of the doctor and nurses waiting.
Or if you're like the Kardashians, you just put your hands out and catch the baby yourself.
What?
Have you not seen that?
No. I don't watch that trash.
It's on YouTube.
What?
If you read women's like websites, it was all over them. I think it was Kim Kardashian. Maybe it's one of the other ones, I'm not sure.
It was the same.
They were giving birth and she put her hands just like down to catch in inverted commas the baby. So basically as she was giving birth to the baby, she put her hands out so the baby kind of went into her hands. And everyone was hailing.
Into her own hands?
Yeah.
How?
Because she just put her hands down.
Well, like that?
Like by her vagina.
Yeah, but... yeah, I guess.
But yeah, and so she just gave birth into her hands. So it was this massive thing on, like, women's websites that she caught her own baby. That's how they sold it.
How fast did it come out?
She had a reasonable face. I'll show you the video.
I'm good. I'm fine. I don't need to see that.
But yeah, in utero, Hugh means inside the womb.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, well, you know, bodies, I just think, if you could educate children in the womb, they could learn to count.
Wow. I was thinking like, kind of, I was trying to think of like nice, kind of warm stuff.
I've done some more.
Oh, go on then, sorry.
Yeah. So on the counting theme, Rammstein links 2, 3, 4.
Oh, this baby's going to come out an absolute state.
Because they can learn German, links 2, 3, 4. And also Sonne, he counts at the beginning in German.
So you're trying to... What? I don't think babies start counting until they're about 2.
But I'm just saying they lay the foundations. And then I thought maybe you could play some baby metal so they can learn Japanese.
I've got baby metal as well, just because I thought... Well, I'm kind of thinking of this like it's a little baby, not when it's in the womb.
I just thought, you know, it's never too early to start with education.
Well, I was thinking more like warmer, nice stuff. So like, I was thinking like the slower clutch songs. I've got Baroness in here as well.
That would be nice.
Like Chlorine and Wine. That would be a nice song to play to little baby. Or just Rammstein is fine, I guess.
Educational. But like, I was also...
Kicking fucking double bass drums.
I was also thinking you could play Team Sleep. Just because,
that'd be nice.
You know, they're quite sort of nice songs. And then, you know, maybe... you know, if the fetus remembered when it was a baby and came out, you know, when it was asleep, you could play those same songs to soothe.
Does that happen?
No, I'm just making up science.
Right. I'm slightly worried about your attitude towards babies here, I'm going to be honest though.
There are studies that say you should play classical music to babies in the womb, but I don't think there's any weight behind it, really.
I got played a lot of reggae, I think.
Did you?
Yeah. Or so my dad says, anyway.
Came out heavier.
Came out and went, fuck that. I went straight to Napalm Death like every metalhead fan does.
But there's lots of bands that I think are quite nice to play. Like, there's some nice Deftones songs that would be good. I got my friend, in all seriousness, after his son was born, one of those CDs where they make the songs into lullabies. And I got him a Deftones one, and that's actually quite nice.
They don't
have any vocals on them. It's just the sound of the music. Lullaby-fied.
Awesome.
So that's quite cool. And it means you can listen to all your favourite songs with the baby in a relaxing way.
Hooray. Well, congrats again to Hugh and his wife for their first baby being on the way. You could do this one. I just did that, didn't I?
Yeah. Elliot Lever asks, which band that doesn't play metal has the most metal name?
I reckon I've smashed this.
Go on.
Yeah. So obviously... it's kind of hard to do these because when you say the band's name, you get an image of what they're like and the music they play. So it's quite hard to reimagine that as metal. But if you just think these bands didn't exist and it was a brand new band and you heard the band name, I think you would assume it was a metal band.
All right.
So I've written down Outkast.
Yeah.
Again, they put a K in it, so it gives it a different vibe. But if to me, that sounds like an 80s... kind of nuclear thrash band.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah, with a logo with some sort of...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Aphex Twin. That just sounds like that should be some weird kind of prog death metal band to me. Do you know Camel Fat?
I think yeah.
So that, if you're called Camel Fat, that sounds to me like you should be playing really slow, lumbering
desert
stoner
rock.
Doom. Yeah, desert rock.
Because
exactly.
There's a band called Woe Fat.
Yeah, there
which
is.
Which is almost like.
Exactly. I can see their name in kind of big, like not fluffy, but like those big, thick letters that
I can as well,
there.
Yeah.
You know
like
I mean?
Almost like sort of, yeah. Fuzzy like, Cloud.
Yeah, Fuzzy Cloud, exactly. Underworld. Surely that is a metal band name.
Yeah.
Like, there must be a death metal band kicking themselves over that in the 80s. Knife Party sounds like
that's a brilliant
kind
one.
Of metallic hardcore band to me. These are all brilliant artists, by the way, if you haven't checked any of them out. I mean, Aphex and Underworld are quite well established. Knife Party is the kind of more dubsteppy, chart, dancey side project of at least one of the Pendulum guys. I'm pretty sure Rob's in it. Their album's awesome. And also, Pendulum. That's a doom metal band.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So yeah, those
are
my
choices. I can hear Jonathan in my mind talking about how the music sounds like a heartbeat.
Yeah, exactly.
Just about how that and how it resonates with you in this rhythmical fashion, which sounds like it's from a primal place, like it had been with you since the womb.
Fully backed. I this should happen. They probably can't.
I feel really embarrassed now because I did this 10 seconds before we started recording and mine is so terrible.
Go on then.
I can't. Okay, no, this is really bad. The first one... the first one was Maroon 5 because...
What?
Because maroon is like a dark red.
We are Maroon 5!
It's like a dark red that's not quite black.
This
but
next one is called She Will Be Blind!
If you're gonna choose the most metal shade of brown or of red, you'd pick maroon.
Now, maroon is not, that does not sound metal at all. We are maroon. No!
Yeah, but this is what I mean. I did it in 1 minute and yours were actually really well thought out, good choices. Another one I picked was Counting Crows just because it has the word crows in it.
Yeah, I can see that.
But again, it's very weak.
But you shouldn't be counting them, you should be eating them or something.
Yeah, and then D Ant Word, just because written down, it
looks
like die.
I had written down, yeah. I thought, well, it kind of looks really metal, but it doesn't sound that metal when you say it.
Oh, I feel very shamed by yours. You would get 100% in the metal name exam.
Absolutely.
And I would get a U.
Pointless test.
Great, though. Genuinely actually like yours a lot.
Thanks. I'm proud. Maybe it'll be the best thing I do today. Hyrule asks, if an album from 10 years ago was released today, which record would still sound the most relevant? 2009 was a banging year as well.
I went with Lamb of God and Wrath.
I've got that written right there. Wrath.
I really love that record when it came out. I think it still stands up and is good.
I don't think Lamb of God will ever sound dated. Like, I genuinely don't. Like, when metal's that heavy and vibrant and kind of groovy and just, like, that's... How can that ever go out of style?
I think maybe as well, because you could obviously say they came up with the whole new wave of American heavy metal thing, or that was, like, a tag that was given to it. But it also doesn't feel like it's pinned to a certain time.
No.
It doesn't feel like it's
totally
sort of,
not.
You know, trapped and dated. It just feels like it's good metal.
I'll go as far to say that mainstream metal hasn't really progressed past it very convincingly. Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, that metal evolved over all these years, and obviously Pantera kind of set the template for it, and then Lamb of God, to me, pushed it on a little bit further. And I don't think it's really been taken forward
terms of kind of, I'm going to say mainstream, but you know what I mean. Not in terms of sort of straight down the line good metal. There's
lots
of people that have taken it into interesting places, but just in terms of like good metal songs.
You just can't, like, if you've got a song like Set to Fail, you just can't beat that.
Great.
Like, how can you like match that? They're just, what a band.
I actually just got chills singing it in my own head because I love it so much.
Can we get a new album as well, please? I know Mark's off doing his like.
Yeah,
well,
I did
a
like
great
that,
project,
but I would love to hear another Lamb of God record.
Yeah,
and that would mean they would have to come and tour again, which obviously they never do.
Ever, ever, ever. Have you got any others? I've got a few.
No.
I've got Crack the Sky by Mastodon.
Oh, wow, that's
just
amazing.
So beautiful
record.
And vibrant, and it's heavy, but it's,
oh, it's
but it's melodic.
Absolutely brilliant, though.
So good. I got thrown off, speaking of constantly pronouncing stuff terribly. Evangeline or Evangeline or Evangelion?
In my head, it's Evangelion.
That's what I thought, but I heard another podcast talk about Evangelion. No, Evangeline, they said the other
Evangeline. Day. It's spelled like Evangeline, but it feels like it should be one word. Someone please tell
us. I should know this.
Facebook.com/Bethlehammer Readers.
Really. Just pathetic. Anyway, the Behemoth album before The Satanist. The Satanist, to me, one of the greatest metal albums of all time. But Evangelion is really, 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 really fucking good as well. And if you listen to it now, I still think even that album just sounds absolutely crushing and better than, not most stuff. I don't want to, you know, piss over what is a very, very vibrant extreme metal scene at the moment. But if that album came out today, I still think people would be losing their shit over it, and quite rightly. On that note, I've got Black Cascades as well, one of my favourite black metal albums by Wolves in the Throne Room. I picked that because I kind of feel like that, I'm not, they didn't quite start it, but to me they kind of helped to perfect that melodic black metal vibe on there. I talked about You Are There earlier, and you can just hear that kind of template everywhere in the scene now, and so I think that very much sounds relevant. I had Wrath as well, and I've got Endgame by Megadeth, which I think is the best thrash album of the 21st century.
Oh, until
that Power Trip album came along. That's close. But yeah, Endgame, I think, is the best album by a Big Four band since... I don't even know. Certainly the 90s. Maybe even before that. So yeah, those would be my choices. There you go.
Good. You have to pick one, though.
Oh, well, as you pick Wrath, I'd probably pick... Crack the Sky, because it's a bit of a fresher template than Endgame was, I guess.
So good choices.
Thanks.
Scott asks, which band has used a children's choir the best? I quite like Pittsburgh by the Amity Affliction.
Good song. I like that song very much. I got Behemoth again.
Survive.
The album.
Just, I think it's just because it's the most recent one as well. It kind of sticks in your mind.
Yeah, definitely.
But I also think it's cool when bands do stuff with choirs in general, like Devin Townsend on Z2 had the Universal Choir where he just invited people to sing on it, and Bring Me did the Royal Albert Hall show where they had people singing up there. And sometimes it can just be really cool. Just, I mean, you know, While She Sleeps are going to be doing it this week.
I just looked in my notes. Yeah, we're going to see While She Sleeps on Friday, and yeah. they're bringing a... It's not a children's choir there, is it?
No.
A proper choir. the good thing about that is I have no idea what that's going to look like or sound like.
No, I don't either.
I've been listening to all their stuff again this week.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see bits, because they've got so many gang vocal bits, and they've got like basically three vocalists now, really. I can kind of see those, where they can maybe bring those layers in, but I'm fascinated to see how it works.
Yeah.
At the Roundhouse as well. I mean, that had the capacity to be amazing.
Yeah.
Should be great. Not Machine Head, I also put. They don't know how to use a children's choir.
I don't mind it, but you hate it, don't you?
I can't. It's one of my least favourite things that one of my favourite bands has ever done.
This is
who we are. No.
Came from a good place, though.
Yeah, of course. No, I love the sentiment of it. And actually, I think Unto the Locust has actually aged really well.
I think so too.
When it first came out, I was a bit like, meh, but now I think that kiddie choir bit is probably the only thing on it I don't like.
I really don't mind it.
Yeah, but you like Catharsis as well. So.
I know I do. I'm the only person in the world that likes Catharsis.
No, you're not.
And you're going to all rip on me for all
Rob
time.
Rob Flynn likes it.
Good.
There's some brilliant moments on Catharsis as well. And I've noticed that Machine Heads are in the studio at the moment. Or Rob's doing something in the studio.
So. Yeah, I saw him Instagramming saying he was on a health kick or something. That's the last thing I read, is that?
Yeah,
right?
he said he was like... I think I saw this, right?
I think he said he was going on a health kick because he'd gained a lot of weight and he wasn't very happy about it, and he wanted to kind of get up and active. I'm pretty sure it's the last thing I saw on Instagram, but you probably look more recently than me.
I'm just looking on my phone to see if I didn't make up the Machine Head in the studio. Yeah. As reported on MetalHammer.com, Machine Head's Rob Flynn is back in the studio, laying down new heaviness, in his own words.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully, that's... I mean, you know, we just took the piss out of a couple of rare sidesteps that Machine Head made, but
I think
we were gutted when that whole thing went down. With
look at his Instagram stories. It's making
you need to start showing me stuff that people can't see on the radio.
He's making a green juice.
Okay, that was just as exciting to actually look at as you can all imagine it in your heads. By the way, everyone listening,
it's got lemon, mint, kale, quinoa inside it, and I think he's doing a cleanse.
Jesus Christ!
So that's what the world of metal is on Instagram now. It's cleanses.
Well, anyway, more importantly, hopefully we're going to get something new under the banner of Machine Head soon. I would love nothing more than for Rob Flynn to kind of snatch victory from the jaws of defeat here and come back with it.
That's his MO anyway, isn't it? That's like, seems to be where he thrives when the pressure's on. He'll come back and prove everybody wrong.
So. Never doubt Rob Flynn when he's against the ropes and he's been through some shit recently.
Even if he comes out and he thinks Catharsis is a load of shit, I'll still like it, by the way, so.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think to say it was all crap is nonsense, but I could have done without the 78th track.
It was long. We spoke about this before. It was over long.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll be back soon.
I'm excited.
And preferably in this case, not packing a children's choir. So there we go. Ken Love asks, I love this, should Denzel Curry now front Prophets of Rage? Yes, he should. I picked Denzel Curry's last album, Taboo, as one of my non-Metal Hammer albums of the year last year. If you haven't heard it, it's brilliant. It's one of my favourite things I've heard in hip-hop in years. And he posted an awesome video covering the Rage Against the Machine track, which I highly recommend everyone goes and checks out. And I would fully back Denzel fronting Prophets of Rage. I think it'd be great. So there.
Good.
I'm glad you concur.
All agreed.
That's it for this week. Thank you everybody for listening. Don't forget, as I very excitedly said at the top of the podcast, we got a new issue out on Friday. 2 world-exclusive Ghost covers, 1 world-exclusive Ghost interview, and each cover comes with exclusive gifts as well. And we still got a bundle to come. Yes! Next week, Al and I will be reviewing While She Sleeps, packing out the four, not the forum, the Roundhouse, which is even bigger in London, bringing a choir with them. No idea what that's going to sound like, but we will tell you all about it next week. We'll see you then.
Please ask us some more questions and I will look at them.
Do some research.
Yeah. I'll have some thoughts.
Good God. See you all next week, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.